Daniel chapter 12, I'll begin reading with verse 1 of that chapter. You follow along with me, and we'll teach Daniel chapter 12 this evening. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. At that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. For thou, O David, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be a 2,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Go thou thy way till the end be. Thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray once again that you'll bless us as we look into your word. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll teach us from your word this evening. And then I pray that you'll help us to apply these things to our lives and help us be drawn closer to you as a result of learning these things from your word. Bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel chapter 12, if you'll remember, is a continuation of the last vision of Daniel, which began in Daniel chapter 10. We've gone through the introduction to the vision, Daniel chapter 10. We've seen a portion of the vision in Daniel chapter 11. And now Daniel chapter 12 is the concluding, the last portion of this vision, the last vision of Daniel. Let's look in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 12. And notice it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up. At that time. Now it's important then to find out what time is talked about here. Remember, this is a continuation of what is already talked about in Daniel chapter 11. Therefore, it's talking about the same time that's talked about in Daniel chapter 11. And for a reference, look back in verse 40 of Daniel chapter 11. And notice it says, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push against him, push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. So in verse 40 of Daniel chapter 11, or the time of this vision is talking about, at the time of the end. And so in chapter 12, it goes on to say, at that time. When is this? At the time of the end. So at that time, or the time of the end. And when was the time of the end? And back in verse 40 of chapter 11, we realize that the time of the end is talking about the last half of the tribulation period. So actually, this point right here is close to the middle of the tribulation period, or close to the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. We remember that the tribulation period is a 7-year period of time. It's divided up into the first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years. We saw in Daniel chapter 11 that at the time of the end would be the time when the Antichrist would come out, would fight against Syria and against Egypt, and that possibly Russia and the East would come down against him, and the Antichrist would go up to fight against Russia, but Russia would be destroyed by God himself, and all the allies of Russia would be destroyed at that time. And the Antichrist would take the credit for the destruction of that, would set himself up as God, so to speak, would place an image in the temple. That is what the Lord refers to as the abomination of desolation. When the Antichrist will blaspheme God and all other gods, he will set himself up as a god and will ask for the worship of the people and will set up an image of himself or an image placed there in the temple. The abomination of desolation will ask people to bow down and worship at that image. And so he will set himself up at the mid-time of the tribulation. Also, we saw at mid-tribulation that Satan would be cast out of heaven. And that's when the worst part of the tribulation is going to take place. During that last 3.5 years, when Satan is cast out of heaven, when the Antichrist sets himself up as God, places an image in the temple at the called the abomination of desolation. So, at that time, we're talking about then somewhere near the middle of the tribulation period, shall Michael stand up. and thy great prince, which standest for the children of thy people. Now, we've seen Michael. We've talked about Michael already. Let me just review some things that we've seen concerning Michael. We know that Michael, of course, is an angel, or one of the angels of God, and not only just an angel, but he's one of the archangels in heaven. We also saw that he is what would be considered as Israel's guardian angel, so to speak. We notice in this verse again, it says, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Of course, talking about Daniel's people or the children of Israel. So we see again a reference to Michael as being kind of a guardian angel over the Israelites. Many times when we see Israel in trouble, we see that Michael is the one that will come to their assistance. And in fact, it's Michael that we saw he's the one that fights against the devil, and he's the one that casts the devil out of heaven, and he's the one that calls the devil to roam upon this earth for that last part during the last half of the tribulation period. So Michael, we see, is one that protects Israel. He's Israel's guardian angel. He will be the one that will help deliver Israel through this worst period of human history called the time of the trouble or time of Jacob's trouble during this last half of the tribulation period. Also, it was Michael who's the one that would cast Satan out of the heavenlies. And probably we get the reference that Michael is the one that's going to help Israel as they go into the area we called last week as Petra, where the children of Israel would go and hide for this last part of the tribulation period. So it's probably Michael's the one that's going to help them also, or help them to hide and protect them during this last 3.5 years. So he's Israel's guardian angel, so to speak. Notice as we go on in the verse, it says, there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Notice that there will be a time of trouble. Now, we've mentioned some things concerning this already. That last 3.5 year period is that time of trouble. So he says, and at that time, talking about somewhere midway through the tribulation period, about halfway through where the Antichrist is going to set up the abomination of desolation. That time of trouble upon Israel is the last 3.5 year period of time where Israel will be persecuted beyond anything they've ever been persecuted before. Far beyond the Holocaust, far beyond anything that Israel has ever had to go through, but they'll go through during this last 3.5 year period of time. By the way, Israel will go through a period of time during that last 3.5 years, but also those that are saved will have a time of persecution also. Remember, when we study the book of Daniel, and we study many of these visions are concerning Israel and Jerusalem primarily. So that's when we study the book of Daniel, we see basically what happens to the Israelites during the last times, and what happens to their land and happens to their city during these last times or the end times. In the book of Revelation, now we see many of the things that will happen not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. We'll see many of the things that will happen to those that are saved and what people will have to go through during this tribulation period or during the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So Daniel is primarily concerned with what will take place with the Jewish people, with their land and with their city. So this time of trouble. Look in Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. This is talking about the same time here. It says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So this is again making reference to that last 3.5 year period of time, or the time of Jacob's trouble, or called by Daniel here, or the time of trouble. Look also in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Matthew 24 verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth it, let him understand. Look down in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, so this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. In other words, what Jesus is saying here, it'll be such a great time of persecution upon the Jews and upon those of that land, that if it went any longer than 3.5 years, that even the elect would be destroyed during that time. Now we see many references here where there will be those that will make it through the tribulation period. Not everybody that goes into the tribulation period will die. Many will die. Many will get saved during the tribulation period. And not everybody will die during this last half of the tribulation, the great tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble, or the time of trouble. But there will be some that will even make it through this time. That reference is made to this by Jesus right here in this verse. And he said if it goes any longer than that 3.5 years, even those people would be destroyed. That's how horrible that this great tribulation period is going to be. Now, what is the purpose for this great tribulation period? Why does God allow Israel to go through this time of trouble, this time of Jacob's trouble, this time of great tribulation, this time of tribulation greater than Israel has ever seen before? Israel has been a great persecuted people, greatly persecuted people. But their persecution will be nothing compared to this time of persecution they'll go through during the great tribulation. Look at Romans chapter 11. In verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Bible says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Now realize this. Israel was the chosen people of God. God had chosen them, and it was through the children of Israel, through the Israelites, that Jesus was born, or born physically, humanly, in this world. So it was they were His chosen people. When Jesus walked upon this earth, the Israelites would not turn to Him. They would not accept Him as their Messiah. They would not turn to Jesus and receive Him as their Savior. Now, some would, but some would not. So by and large, the Israelites, or the Jews, have their eyes blinded during this time. Now notice the Bible says their blindness is not complete. It's only their blindness is in part. It's not total blindness. What that's saying is there are still some Jews being saved during this time. Now primarily in the Old Testament, many Jews were saved, but many Gentiles were saved also. There were Gentiles saved in the Old Testament. There were Gentiles saved during the time of Israel's persecution in Egypt. We see that there are many that turn to the Lord during that time as a result of the plagues and the other things that happened. So there always have been Jews getting saved, and there always have been Gentiles getting saved. And the same is the same today. There are Jews getting saved today. There are Gentiles getting saved today. But by and large, the Jews are not turning to Jesus. Many of them will not turn to Jesus. They have the same chance today as a Gentile has. But most of them will not. They are blinded. Their eyes are blinded. But many will still get saved today. Now let's look on. Verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." So notice this. Right now, we're going through a period of time where more Gentiles are getting saved than Jews. But there's coming a time when the Gentiles, when the Jews, will turn back to Jesus again. There's coming a time when there will be many Jews get saved. Matter of fact, most of the Jews will get saved. And when it will be opened up completely to the Jews again. Now, Gentiles will still get saved during the tribulation period. But this will be a great time when Israel will turn back to God. Realize this also. Many times, we turn back to God when we go through a time of persecution or when we personally go through a time of trouble or tribulation in our own lives. That is the time, normally, we get the closest to God. When things are going good is a time that we don't think of God as much as when things are going bad. Many times, we must go through tribulation in our own lives before we will turn to God like we ought to. Or many times, we must go through some trouble before we turn to God like we ought to. God, remember this, God's purpose is to get folks to Jesus. That's what God wants to do. All the way through the Bible, what God does is to bring people to Jesus Christ. That's what His purpose is. When God destroyed people, He always gave them an opportunity to turn to Jesus first before He would wipe out a tribe or wipe out a group of people. He always gave them an opportunity to turn to Jesus Christ. Say, how did they know in the Old Testament? If you just think, basically, all the way back to the very beginning, at one time there was only two people in the world. There was Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve both knew, according to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that Jesus was coming. So the whole world at one time knew about Jesus. So people down from that time on have turned from the fact that Jesus was coming. And so now there are complete nations. You always hear the argument, people say, well, what about the people over in Arabia, those that believe in Muhammad? God would let them go to heaven because they don't know about Jesus. Well, they could have known about Jesus because everybody knew about Jesus at one time. Everybody has the same opportunity. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that they are without excuse. So everybody has an opportunity. If somebody over in Saudi Arabia that believes in Muhammad wanted to know the truth, God would make it some way. He'd send a missionary over there. Or he'd drop a Bible out of heaven or something would happen where he could know the truth. They have rejected the truth. They have not received the truth. And that's the reason that they've gone the way that they have gone. So everybody has the opportunity to turn back to Jesus. So God will use this time of trouble, I believe, to help Israel, bring Israel back to Him. There will be 144,000 Jews that will get saved. And then there will be those that won't even get saved then. But then I believe that many will get saved during this great tribulation period when many of them have to go through a time of trouble, a time of Jacob's trouble, or during a great tribulation when most of the Jews will get saved or many of them will get saved at that time. So that's the time of trouble. Look back at Daniel chapter 12 again. And then it says, at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And of course, I'll look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. In verse 11 it says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face on the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no peace place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And so we see that there are those, and then, of course, in chapter 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we see that this is the book. And we find that these are the people that are saved. They're talking about Jews that go through the tribulation period that are saved. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Notice also in verse 2 that there are two different resurrections. There's a resurrection here talking about those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. There's a resurrection of everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There also is a resurrection, a second resurrection, to those of everlasting contempt. Look in John chapter 5, verse 28. We'll see Jesus make reference to these same resurrections. John chapter 5. And verse 28. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation. So we realize, according to Daniel chapter 12, that there are two resurrections. One resurrection unto life, one resurrection unto everlasting contempt. Jesus said in John chapter 5, there is two resurrections, one unto everlasting life, one to everlasting damnation, the resurrection of damnation. So we realize there are two resurrections. Daniel and Jesus have both said that. But when are these resurrections? When will the two resurrections take place? Look in Revelation chapter 20. And this is the first reference to when the second resurrection will take place. Revelation chapter 20. Now, the first resurrection we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is a resurrection of unto life. That resurrection will take place at the rapture of the church when Jesus comes back, meets the saints in the air. There will be a resurrection at that time. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They that are alive and remain shall be called together to meet Him in the clouds. So shall they ever be with the Lord. When will those that die during the tribulation period, when will they be resurrected? I believe that those who die during the tribulation period will be a part or considered part of that first resurrection. Look in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So we see that those that die during the tribulation period will also be with Jesus. Of course, they'll die and their souls will be with Jesus, but I believe that they'll be resurrected with Jesus also. Then it says, verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests in God in Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So there is a first resurrection where they will reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. So those that are saved are all part of that first resurrection. Anybody that is saved is part of the first resurrection of those that will reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. That's called by Jesus the resurrection of life. There is a second resurrection, and the Bible says that will not take place until the end of that 1,000 years. That will be a second resurrection. Of course, that second resurrection is a resurrection of those onto what the Bible calls damnation, resurrection of damnation. So the first resurrection is the resurrection of life. The second resurrection is the resurrection of damnation. Now, are these resurrections, do they have anything to do with when a person gets resurrected and they stand before God? Does God decide then who goes to heaven or hell? No, it's not decided then. It's decided now. Because only the saved will be resurrected in the first resurrection. Only the lost will be resurrected during the second resurrection. Or the lost will be resurrected during the second resurrection. So it will not be a judgment to discern who is saved and who is lost. It is a judgment. Those judgments will take place concerning the works that we have. So depending on your works, you will be judged for. For some reason, many people get the idea that you'll stand before God one day and God will make a choice whether you go to heaven or hell. No, you make the choice whether you go to heaven or hell. You make that choice here on this earth whether you trust Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. When you stand before Jesus one day, it will not be a judgment to discern whether you're going to heaven or hell. It'll be a judgment to discern your works here upon this earth. By the way, the saved will be judged by their works, and the unsaved will be judged by their works. And so everybody will be judged according to their works. Now, the Bible doesn't say they'll be judged according to their sins. They'll be judged according to their works. We are to be working for God. That's what we're to do upon this earth once we get saved. We're to work for Him. And we will be judged one day according to our works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. So those are the two resurrections talked about in Daniel chapter 12, mentioned by Jesus in John chapter 5. And then we see the resurrections are 1,000 years apart, the first resurrection of those that are saved, the second resurrection of those that are lost, and that resurrection is the resurrection of damnation. Look then back at Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Notice the reward right here in this verse to those that are soul winners. There's a reward given to those that are soul winners. It says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. There's a special blessing that God has in store for those that are soul winners. Matter of fact, when we get to heaven, there will not be a sun that'll have to give us light, or a moon that'll have to give us light. The light in heaven will be the glory of God. But God says here that God is going to share His glory with a select few people, or with a special group of people. God in heaven is going to take some of His glory and share it with those that are soul winners. Now, that's a special blessing that soul winners get when they get to heaven. They get part of God's glory, or God will share His glory with soul winners. Now, if there's anything in the world that will motivate a person to win souls, it would be that thing right there. Just to realize that God in heaven will share His glory with those that are soul winners. And by the way, that ought to be a special motivation for each one of us to realize for all of eternity. By the way, for all of eternity, you can pick out the soul winners because they're going to shine like the stars forever and ever. They'll actually get to have some of God's glory, and God will share His glory for those that are soul winners. And by the way, this is talking specifically, of course, of the soul winners of the Jews, but I believe it's talking also of all soul winners of all times, those that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And so, of course, it's talking about a consistent soul winner, one that turns many, one that gets many saved while they're here upon this earth. And God will take those select few. He'll pick those that have turned many from sin and many to righteousness, and He'll share His glory with them forever and ever. And so there's a special blessing for those that say, I want to be a soul winner. I want to lead many to righteousness. And I want to share in God's glory one day when we get to heaven. And so that's a special blessing that God has in store for those special people that have chosen to give their lives to win souls. Look down in verse 4 then. The first thing, by the way, I've divided this chapter up into four parts. First of all, God's final deliverance of Israel, found in verses 1 through 3. Secondly, the command to preserve this revelation. Notice in verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So Daniel was commanded to take these prophecies, these 12 chapters that God has given to him. He says, Daniel, I want you to take this book and I want you to seal it up to the time of the end. By the way, Daniel obeyed God because we've got it. It's been preserved. And Daniel did do what God told him to do. He sealed up the book to the time of the end. And the proof that he did it is because we've got it right now. We've got the book that God gave to Daniel and the prophecy that God gave to him. So he was to seal it up to the time of the end. Now notice also the Bible even gives some instances of the time of the end or some examples of when this time of the end will be. It says, many shall run to and fro. So one example of the time of the end will be when many shall run to and fro. I believe this possibly is a reference to travel or transportation. What time in the history of the world do men run to and fro like men run today? By the way, we live in a fast-paced society today. Time just goes so quickly nowadays, and people are in a fast pace to do things, and folks just don't have time for anything anymore. Everybody's running to and fro. By the way, just in the transportation, the automobiles, the way that they are running, the plane transportation, everything's getting faster and faster and faster nowadays, and it's a time when people are running to and fro. I want to read you something that the scientist Sir Isaac Newton, by the way, he was a Christian, I want you to read something to you that he had written back in about 1680 A.D. He had sat down and he had read this very verse right here, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. He came across that verse, and here's what he said concerning that verse. He said, personally, I cannot help but believe that these words refer to the end of times. Men will travel from country to country in an unprecedented manner. There may be some inventions which will enable people to travel much more quickly than they do now. By the way, that was written in 1680 A.D. So that was written over 200 years ago, when, of course, they didn't have the transportation they have today. And he said, I believe that one day there will be transportation, that scientists will invent some transportation where people can travel much more quickly than they can now. A few years, about 80 years after that, there's a French atheist by the name of Voltaire. And of course, he was very widely known during his time. He did not believe the Bible. He did not believe in God. Matter of fact, he would get up and give speeches against God and against this book. Now, here's what he said when he read the words that Sir Isaac Newton had written. He said, see what a fool Christianity makes of an otherwise brilliant man. Here a scientist like Newton actually writes that men may travel at the rate of 30 or 40 miles per hour. After he had made that statement, he said that men would travel, could travel even up to the speed of 30 or 40 miles per hour. And so this French atheist Voltaire read that and said, what a fool Christianity makes of an otherwise brilliant man. He believes that man one day will travel at the speeds of 30 or 40 miles per hour. Now here's what Voltaire said. He said, has he forgotten that if a man would travel at this rate, he would be suffocated? His heart would stand still. So Voltaire said, what a fool Newton is. Now, this is before they ever even thought of a car or anything else, transportation like we have today. Newton said, man may someday travel to speeds of 30 or 40 miles per hour.
I mean, you travel that fast, you think you're going like a turtle nowadays, driving 30 miles an hour. And Voltaire says, what a fool he is. Doesn't he realize if man traveled that fast, he'd suffocate, or his heart would stop. And so man could never travel that fast. If you remember, what would Voltaire do if he was living today? When Edward H. White, on June 3rd, 1965, he climbed out of a spacecraft 100 miles in the sky and casually walked across the continental United States in less than 15 minutes, strolling along at 17,500 miles per hour. Here he was, get out of a spaceship and walked across the entire United States in 15 minutes as he was up in space traveling at 17,500 miles per hour. And then in a recent moon landing, man exceeded a speed some 12 times faster than a 22 caliber rifle bullet travels. 15 times faster than that. And Voltaire said if man travels 30 or 40 miles per hour, his heart would stop. And practically stops now if you go that slow. And so that's the prophecy concerning Daniel. Daniel says, the Bible says, shut up these words and seal the book to the time of the end. And then makes a couple references to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. There are some that have said these verses may refer to running to and fro through this book. And the more that people read it, and the farther the time goes on, the more that people will understand the prophecies concerning this book. And of course, both of them are very probable. People today do believe or understand Daniel more than they even did 50 years ago or 100 years ago, as we get closer to the time of the end. Then look in verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. Remember again now, this is just a continuation of the prophecy that was begun in Daniel chapter 10. Look back in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 4. We'll notice what river this is. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 4, it says, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, and that is the same river, the Tigris River. And so he's back again, where he's talking about this same river that he talked about in Daniel chapter 10. He's at the Tigris River. Back in Daniel chapter 10, a certain man came to him. Look in Daniel chapter 10, verse 5. It says, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. So while he was here by the Tigris River, a certain man comes to him clothed in linen. So in Daniel chapter 12, verse 6, it says, and one said to the man clothed in linen. Of course, this is the same angel talked about it back in Daniel chapter 10. So here we are, Daniel's there by the river again. He's talking about the same river that's back in Daniel chapter 10. He's talking about the same man clothed in fine linen. And now there are two other men that appear. Not only is the one that had talked to him earlier, this man clothed in fine linen, but now there are two other men. One appears on one side of the Tigris River, one appears on the other side of the Tigris River. So now we have three heavenly beings, the one from Daniel chapter 10, one on one side of the river, and one on the other side of the river. Now, the third part of this chapter, we see, is the angel's question, found in chapter 12, verses 5 through 7. Notice the question that one of these angels asks to the man clothed in linen. Verse 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was verse 6, and was upon the waters of the river. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And here's what that angel is saying. He's saying, now you've explained all these things in chapters 10 through 12. We know that this is concerning the last half of the tribulation period. How long is this going to take place from the time when you said the time of the end? How long is this persecution going to last? How long is this to be? Verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So this angel then answers the angel that asked him the question, how long will these things be? And he says it'll be for a time, times and a half, or three and a half times. And we've already seen this back in Daniel chapter 7. And verse 25, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time, making reference to the same time period, a 3.5 year period of time. Look also in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5. Revelation 13, verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So this is the same period of time then. It's called in the Bible a period of time of 1,260 days, or a period of time of 42 months, or time times and a half, or 3.5 times. So it's a 3.5 year period of time. So he once again confirms the fact that this great tribulation will be for 3.5 years. Look back at Daniel chapter 12, and let's look at the fourth thing in this chapter. You're going to have to listen very quickly so we can get this finished up now tonight. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So we see in these last verses now, we see Daniel's question. So we still have the question of the angel. Now we see Daniel's question. Daniel did not understand everything that was given to him. By the way, that's part of the prophecy also. It said they would not understand many of these things until the times of the end. We can take other scriptures and compare with Daniel. And we can understand better what Daniel's talking about because of the other scriptures and prophecies that have been given to us. And so his question is, Oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? But he says to him, Daniel, go your way. I've given you everything you need to know right now. Everything I'm going to tell you, I've told you. And so just take these things, but I will tell you this. I've told you everything you need to know right now. And everything that you will know or that you need to know concerning these things, I've already told you. But I will give you one more thing, though, that'll be a comfort to you and be a help to you. He said, many shall be purified and made white and tried. So he at least did tell him this. He said, now these things are closed up. Just close them up and seal them to the time of the end. But I'll just tell you this one thing, Daniel. Don't be too much of a worry because there will be those that will make it through this tribulation time. There will be those that will make it through this time. They'll survive it. They'll live through it. And they'll live to go into the millennial time. So he said there will be those that will be saved during the tribulation time. There will be those that will make it through. Of course, he's talking about those that will be saved and then those that will make it to the tribulation time. So after he had told them all the horrible things that would take place, he leaves them one bit of comfort, telling them that there will, even during this time of persecution, there will be those that will be saved during that time. There will be those that will make it through the tribulation period. And then he goes on to say this, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. By the way, this is even a Bible principle for today. In order for us to understand the Word of God, we must be willing to obey the Word of God. Many times, understanding does not come until obedience. Many times, we must obey first before we'll understand. Now, the whole rules philosophy is this. I will obey when I can understand. If I can understand salvation, then I'll get saved. If I can understand God, then I'll believe there's a God. If you show me a God, then I'll believe there's a God. But God's is totally different. God says you don't live by sight, you live by faith. You obey it because God says it, and then you'll understand it because you obeyed it. That's the difference. Man says, if I can understand it, then I'll obey. God says, you obey, then you'll understand. That's the Bible principle. The wicked will continue to do wickedly. They just can't understand it. The wicked won't understand it because they continue to do wickedly. But those that do right will understand. The righteous will understand. But the wise shall understand. So those that do wrong and wickedly will not understand. Those that are wise will understand. Those that disobey can't understand. Those that obey will understand. The more we obey of God's Word, the more we will understand of God's Word. That's why so many people have a hard time understanding the Word of God. is because they have not obeyed, and therefore they cannot understand. When we get to the point where we start obeying the Word of God, whether we understand it or not, that's when we can understand it. There are a lot of things in the Word of God that God tells people to do, and they say, well, I just won't do it because it just doesn't make sense to me. And many people are disobeying God because it doesn't make sense. And it never will make sense until they start obeying. So once we obey God, then God blesses us with understanding. By the way, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 11. Verse 10 says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They would not receive, therefore, verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So the Bible goes on to enforce the fact, because they would not receive, they could not understand, and they would believe a lie. That's why many people that do not obey God and that will not yield themselves to God do not have understanding concerning the Scripture. They'll argue everything in the world. They'll argue up and down to live their lifestyle. And they just can't get the Bible to make sense to them because they're not willing to submit themselves to God, be obedient to God, and then the Scripture starts making sense. By the way, don't even bother arguing with somebody that's not obeying the Bible. Don't even bother arguing with them. If they're not obeying the Bible, then they're believing a lie because they cannot know the truth until they get to the point where they're obedient to God. The more a person submits themselves to God, the more they can understand the Word of God. The less a person submits themselves to God, the less they can understand of the Word of God. You can, by the way, you can tell a lot of times how much you're submitted to God by how much you understand of what God says. God gives understanding to those that submit themselves to Him, and those that will not receive Him and will not submit to themselves to Him will believe a lie. And that's why it's so amazing how far away the liberals' thoughts are from ours. It's totally opposite. I mean, it's just you can't understand why they believe what they believe, and they can't understand why we believe what we believe, because we believe the Bible, and they don't. Until they start obeying it, it'll never make sense to them. And a great warning to those that go into the tribulation period is, to those that will live during the tribulation period, if they do not receive Him, they will go ahead and believe a lie, and they'll accept it as the truth. They'll believe a lie as the truth during this time. So those that do wickedly will believe a lie. Those that obey God are called wise, and they will know the truth, and they will understand. Look back at Daniel chapter 12. We'll finish up the last couple verses here. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And from that time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abominations that make desolate set up. There shall be 1,190 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way to the end be. Thou shalt rest, and they stand the lot of the end of the days. Notice there's two periods of time here, a period of 1,290 days, and a period of 1,335 days. I'd like to go through and explain to you what those mean, but our time is just up, and we just don't have time to look at those things right there. I've always wondered myself what those two things mean. I'm using that as an excuse to get out of it, amen? And so there's two periods of times used there in Daniel chapter 12. Now notice, we know that there's 1,260 days from the abomination of desolation. Now the Bible talks about a period of time, 1,290 days from the time that the abomination of desolation or from the image is set up. So there's an extra 30 days that goes beyond the end of the tribulation period. And then it goes on in the next verse to add another 45 days onto that. So there's an extra 30 days that goes into, possibly into the millennium, or at least beyond the tribulation period. And then it talks about an extra 45 days beyond that, or 75 days into the millennium, or past the end of the tribulation period. So the angel says, I've given you everything I'm going to tell you, but I'll tell you this anyway. There will be some that will make it through, but those that will not receive will believe a lie. But there will be 1,290 days following the abomination of desolation, And there will be 1,335 days following, or 30 days into the millennium and 75 days into the millennium. So what do those things mean? I don't know, and neither does anybody else in the world know, because there are no other scriptures to compare to that talk about those days right there. Now, we can speculate on what those days mean, but we don't have anything else in the Bible that talks about those 30 days, extra 30 days, or that extra 75 days. Some people have speculated it as a time when Jesus is setting up his millennial kingdom, at a time period when he is setting up the kingdom, kind of a time to clean up after the Battle of Armageddon, and a time when there'll be a time when he's setting up, or maybe a time when he's taking in those that will rule and reign for him for 1,000 years. We don't know exactly what it is, and we probably won't know until that time comes, because there's no other scriptures that make reference to it. Nothing else tells us exactly what they are. We can speculate it's maybe a time of judgment, those first 30 days when he judges the Gentile nations, talked about in Matthew, or possibly a time when Jesus is setting up his kingdom and choosing those that will rule and reign with him for that 1,000 years and setting up them into their positions of ruling during that millennial period of time. And so I almost got out of getting into those verses right there. Almost saved by the time, by the clock. Amen. Well, that's Daniel chapter 12, and that's the book of Daniel. And I trust that you've gotten some things in there that will help you, some things that will help you understand the end times, some things that will help us be better Christians during these times, realizing that Jesus' coming is near, may even be in our lifetime, maybe in this year. And many have picked 1988, and I don't pick any days because I don't know when he's coming. I just want to just trust him every day that he's coming and just believe he's coming today and just live for him like he's coming today. And if he doesn't, just live like he's coming tomorrow. And just keep looking and watching and waiting for Jesus' return. And let's pray. Lord, bless now, we pray, the studies that we've had in the book of Daniel. Yeah, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the understanding that you can give us from the Word of God. We look forward to your return, realizing there's much work to be done yet before you come back.